Today is the 26th Sunday after Pentecost. Our reading from the sacred scriptures are from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 25, Psalm 16, and the Gospel according to Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. The message is titled, You Can Draw Near to God. Hebrews 10, beginning of verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Here ends the reading from Hebrews chapter 10, Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand. Here ends Psalm 16. The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Look, teacher, what massive stones! What magnificent buildings! Do you see all these great buildings? Jesus replied, Not one stone will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they're all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time. For it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved." Here ends the gospel, Mark chapter 13. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know the things that were cast down are being raised up, and things that had grown old are being made new. And all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The prayer from the Gallicium Sacramentary. Growing up in Bowie, Maryland, there is a place I would be on Friday nights. Every Friday night, as much as possible, not far away from where we lived, up Route 3 in Crofton, was a Friday night paradise. For me at that time, it felt. Started in fourth grade occasionally, fifth grade even more, sixth grade, seventh grade, as much as possible, Friday night, I would be up there in that paradise in Crofton, known as a roller skating rink. I'd be roller skating every Friday night. It was my life. So much so that I asked for roller skates for my birthday. I had to have my own pair of roller skates. You know those rental skates? They rolled funky and the wheels were not the best. I had to get my own skates so I could get my own speed wheels. And speed wheels that rolled better and grip better than the wheels on the rental skates. You see, I loved to race. I loved to race and I was fast. Win the race and you get a free pass to skate another night. I had to win those races, get the free pass. Me and my friends. My mom often driving the group of us. Me, occasionally I'd allow my younger brother to join us. You see, it was me and a group of girls that would ride with my mom off for a couple hours to roller skating. So let my brother join us, and he remembers it. He was go, "Wow, you let me come with you and your friends? Yeah." For a couple of hours of skating on Friday nights. Well, the open skate, enjoyed that. There's the special skates. As I mentioned earlier, I loved the racing opportunity of the special skates. There was a girl skate, there's a boy skate, there's a fast skate. Oh, I liked the fast skate. And a couple skate and several slow skates too, oftentimes skated as couple skates. I mean, holding hands for the couple skate, that was good. And I enjoyed it with my friends during those times. I was determined, however, I had to learn to skate backwards. Skating backwards, you know, with the hands on the hips, that's much better roller skating. Plus, you're facing each other. You could talk and have a wonderful time. Me going backwards, my friend close by skating forwards. I mean, lots of memories. Lots of memories flooding my soul right now. I write of those Friday nights as I write of them. Skating backwards meant to be closer together. There's still a skating ring up there in Crofton on that corner. These many years later, owned by other people, but the skating rink's still there. That's amazing. Close, drawing close. Friendships and relationships. Though a child then, I could tell the difference that closeness could bring. I cherish the memories of those ages past, of those friendships. And it gets me thinking about what it is to come close to the living God in relationship with the living God, to come close. You know, with the God that says, draw near. God says to us, draw near. So let's really draw near in this moment. Perhaps you'll draw nearer than you've ever been before in the very presence of God. Never before in your life have you been this near to God as this moment in worship and praise. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Seven times in the book of Hebrews, it's written about drawing near to God. First time is in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us approach is the same Greek word translated later in other places in Hebrews chapter 10 as draw near. Let us approach. Draw near. Proser kumahi. Proser kumahi. It's a compound word. Pros means come. And the second half is erkomai. So pros means to come. And erkomai, it means to go. So it means come near. It means to really come near. Come near to me, God's saying. Come to God with boldness, with confidence. Why? For Jesus the Christ is the high priest. Have faith in who Jesus is. Have faith in what Jesus has done. Hebrews 7, another place that word proser kumi is found. Beginning at verse 23. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing office. But because Jesus lives forever, he is a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. So come to God. That's that word. Draw near. Come. Draw near to God through Jesus. Digging deeper into verse 25, Jesus lives forever. He's a permanent priest. This Jesus is able, the word is dunamis, the power, the ability to save. To save to the uttermost. To completely save those drawing near to God through him. He also always lives to intercede for us. So draw near to God. Be in the very presence of God. Jesus is interceding for you to be there in the presence of God. Let's keep digging deeper about this drawing near, as the same word in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities of themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeatedly, endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. The law, it's a shadow. And as a result, the sacrifices through the law requires, they really are inadequate to do what really needed to be done. Those who draw near to worship through the sacrifices the law requires are not made perfect. Rather, what is happening is that the law reminds each of us, we are sinners. Continuing with verse 2, Hebrews 10 through verse 4. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all. They would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Let that sink in. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Obeying the law with the sacrificing of bulls and goats is the reminder of being sinners. And the reality of sin present before the eyes of the living God. Impossible for the blood of those sacrifices, the bulls and goats, to take away sins. Impossible. Adunatos. The exact opposite of what Jesus is able to do. Dunatos. Those sins. Impossible. Adunatos. Exact opposite of what Jesus is able to do. Dunatos. This means the blood of the bulls, the blood of the goats, is unable to do what the blood of Jesus is able to do. But the blood of the sacrifices were required by the law. They were foreshadows of what was to come. Especially on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Leviticus chapter 16 describes what is to happen on that day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. This is the only day of the whole year that the high priest may enter into the most holy place. Go behind the curtain that separates the Ark of the Covenant from everything else. This day, and only this day, in the entire year, the blood is brought into the most holy place to be sprinkled on the atonement cover of the Ark of the Covenant. Blood from the bull and blood from the goat that was selected by lot from the two goats. After coming out from the most holy place, the high priest comes to the second goat, places his hands on it, and confesses all the wickedness and sin of Israel, and puts them on the goat's head. This goat then is released into the wilderness to carry the sins away into the wilderness. Read Leviticus chapter 16 later this afternoon in your Bible at home. I'm sure if you do, you will see how the Lord God was laying the understanding of what the Christ would one day do during this time of Moses and the giving of the tabernacle and the wandering in the wilderness. Though foreshadow of what was to come in the Christ, the foreshadow cannot do what the one coming can do. The blood of bulls and blood of goats cannot do what was needed to be done concerning sins. Hebrews 10, verse 12. But when the high priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Now to verse 14. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Verse 12, for all time. Verse 14, forever. Same Greek word. And it means continuous, unbroken, ongoing, perpetually pointing to the greater and superior of Jesus' sacrifice. With the image of conventional language, we are perfected already, even as we are being sanctified. We are perfected already, even as we're being sanctified. Verse 18, and where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Verse 18, in Greek word order, where now forgiveness of these is, no longer is there any offering for sin. The forgiveness in Christ Jesus is so thoroughly complete, there is no other offering even possible. The transformative nature of forgiveness in Christ is so radical that no offering for sin is possible, as the atoning offering in the blood of Christ makes no other offering even possible. The atoning blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, the Son of God, is so wonderful, nothing could do more in fully satisfying the wrath of God and completely pay the redeeming price. What this means is the barrier that separated us from the living God due to the fall, when Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden and out of the presence of the living God because of sin, from taking what was not theirs to take and eat. Those eons old barrier is entirely removed. Mark 15, verses 37 and 38. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, the place that the high priest was permitted to enter only once a year on Yom Kippur, that is Atonement Day, and enter only with the blood of the sacrifice from the bull and the goat, that curtain was torn from top to bottom. Solomon's temple was 30 cubits tall, 30 cubits tall. Herod the Great and his reworking of the Temple Mount and the areas there increased the height of the temple to 40 cubits tall. According to first century historian, Jewish historian Josephus, this would have a curtain around 60 feet tall. Jewish tradition was that this curtain was 4 inches thick. The Bible's silence on this. However, in Exodus, the description of the curtain was given. It was to be fashioned from blue, purple, and scarlet material and fine twisted linen with cherubim woven into them. This curtain, 60 feet tall or so, was torn from top to bottom. As Jesus breathed his last, is a physical reality of what Christ's death accomplished. What separated is now removed forever. Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Matthew Henry writes, commenting on this section, our way to heaven is by a crucified Savior. His death is to us the way of life. Through the body and blood of the Savior, through his broken body, his body broken in death on the cross, That is the way of life for us, which opened for us the way into the very presence of God. Draw near, yes, draw near with confidence. God says, draw near with confidence, with that full assurance, that faith, that the faith brings. This assurance is a deep-seated conviction that influences one's actions and life that the faith brings into one person. There is no doubt as to whether God will receive us. No doubt whether God will receive us. He will, because Christ has opened the way to the Father, and we are welcomed into His presence. We're encouraged to come into His presence. Draw near. This is what the finished work of the cross has accomplished. Draw near. Yes, you can draw near to God. In Christ, all that was necessary for atonement has been accomplished. Sin has been removed. We have been made clean, washed in Christ's precious blood. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. We can draw near into the very presence of God. So I bring you back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is so wonderful. You can draw near to God. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Come, draw near to God now in the finished, precious work of Christ on the cross. Amen and amen.